is over the years as you use it, there is a traffic light there. And those of us who having to use it at times realize that, of course, there are times when the light is not working, but there are other times when it is working where somebody is always trying to beat the light. And when you have the right of way, they don't care. They'll come right down on you. You know, when situation like this happen and lives are lost, as it now is, it is so heart-rending. Where common sense is not allowed to prevail. We have been informed this past week of a man who felt he and his girlfriend or wife, whatever, weren't getting along, and common sense didn't prevail and say, you know, look what, if we can't get along, let me walk away. It will hurt, but let me walk away. He had to kill her and kill himself. And you and I, it's easy for us to say, because we might live in a more stable family environment, so it's easy for us to say, this will not happen to me. Probably that exact situation will not happen to us. But there are other tragic situations that we are exposed to. So we must give God thanks that, one, we know the truth and we know Jesus Christ. And that so far He has kept us from so many of these things. You know, in last week's lesson I said, it is wonderful to be on God's side. Because God's power is greater than our problem. That is a fact. God's strength is greater than the struggles that you and I are going through. And God's deliverance, that is God's ability to deliver, is greater than the dilemma that you and I will face. When our backs are against the wall and we see no way out, God can always make a way when there is no way. We must take comfort in the fact that, in fact, let me word it another way. We must take comfort in the fact that not just we know God, but that we are a part of His family. We ended last week on the point that you must never sell God short. You must never put limit and the Almighty God. You must never underestimate God, no matter how gloomy this situation may appear to us. this came out of the fact that after the Almighty God allowed, permitted Nebuchadnezzar in about 536 years before Christ to not only take his people, the Israelite, captive, permitted Nebuchadnezzar to ransack Jerusalem, tore down the wall, committed sacrilege against the temple and its furniture, and allowed the Israelites to remain in slavery and captivity for 70 years. Remember, the Israelites were God's people. The Almighty God now comes to redeem them. All along, God was on their side, but because of their sin, he permitted this. The Israelite, the Almighty God, was dealing with a heathen king who did not know God. The king of Persia. God placed in the mind, in the heart of this king, not only to emancipate the Israelites, but to encourage them to go and restore the temple. All of this, you know, was no mere accident. God was in all of these activities. And it was this, I said, that God can touch the heart, and the Almighty God can make women think in ways and manner that they are not accustomed to doing. The Almighty God can make men and women, as we are seeing here in the king of Persia, the Almighty God can make men and women say yes when or where otherwise they would have said no. The Almighty God has the power, had the power then, and has the power now to stir the heart of men and women in ways that may surprise you and me. And this is why we must never give up on God. Things that are impossible for us, they are not impossible for God. Exodus chapter 12, for example. And chapter 14. But chapter 12, 31 through 33, quick. For chapter 14, 5 through 6. Just as an illustration, I bring these two passages with the happenings in them as an illustration. Let us have it. Chapter 12, first, verse 31.
Verse 31 says,
follow.
And he called for Moses and Aaron by night. And said, rise up and get ye forth from among my people.
Watch here, brothers and sisters. Pharaoh was in a hurry at this point to get rid of the children of Israel. Through Moses, the Almighty God had been appealing to him weeks upon weeks, months upon months, to emancipate, to release the Israelites so that they could go where they could serve God, and he refused. God has many ways of touching man's heart. God has many ways. Sometimes you know what he does? There are times when God burns our barley field. I encourage men and women to be members of the Lord's church and visitors, don't permit God to burn your barley field before you respond to Him. Right here now, He starts to burn Pharaoh's barley field. And Pharaoh was now in a hurry to let God's people go. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? That the Almighty God can make men and women say yes, where usually they would say no. Read, brother.
Get thee up from among my people.
Get out from Egypt.
Both you and the children of Israel.
Both you, Moses, and the Israelites.
And go serve the Lord as you have said.
But my God, that's what God has been asking for a long time. Read, brother.
Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said.
Remember the incident? When Pharaoh said, you can go, but you have to leave your cattle. And Moses gave that famous statement. Moses says, not a hoof of our cattle going to remain in Egypt. I love that. Pharaoh was not ready to let everything go. Read, brother. What verse is that?
32.
Read.
You heard as you have said, and be gone.
And be gone!
And bless me also.
And bless you also. Read.
And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people.
The Egyptian was urging the Israelites to leave Egypt. God can touch the hearts of men and make them act contrary to their normal ways. And a lot of time He does that in our behalf. Read, brother.
Urgent upon the people that they might.
Yeah, you know. I remember in 1962. Yes, 1962. When I went for my visa, and you know, as a student, you have what they call the I-20th form that you complete, and you have to state how much you have. The college, and that form, the college states how much you will need per year as a student. The college has to send that. It's required by embassy all over the world. And you must take, as a student, where you're going to get the rest of the money. Well, I state what else I had, but it did not even reach close. So when the interviewing person looked on the form, he said, but I could never give you a visa on this. And when I appeal, I said, sir, I get you. Of course, when I tell him that I can work, I was turning down myself because I'm not supposed to work. Oh, my God. And it seems as if, should I say, my appeal? Well, God was working. When He decided, He said, I'm going to, but he shook his head as if to say, I shouldn't give you this visa, but I'm going to give you anyway. If that was not God, you tell me. That's right. So wait. Verse 33, you are, brother?
Yes.
Read.
And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people.
The Egyptian was urging upon the people
that they might send them out of the land in haste.
They wanted the Israelites to leave. But this is the same Pharaoh who had been hindering them. Read.
For they said, we be all dead men.
That's verse 33.
End of 33.
Let's look at 14, 5 through 6.
And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled.
That is, the Israelites fled. Read.
And the hearts of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people.
Wait. That is, Pharaoh come back to his normal self. What did I say? That the Almighty God can stir the heart of men and women and let them act in ways that is contrary to their natural ways. God has the power. He had the power then and he has the power now. Here Pharaoh came back to his normal self and says,
and they said, we have done this. Why have we done this?
You get it? My God, what have I done? It's, how could I be so foolish as to let the children of Israel go? God sometimes can permit us to act foolish in this way. On behalf of his people. Brothers and sisters. So, in the case of Persia and Ezra and the Israelite in Persia, thousands of Israelites returned from captivity to their homeland with Zerubbabel and other leaders. To undertake the project that the Almighty God gave them. That is the project of restoration. One important project. There were many projects. The wall, building the wall, the temple and other things. But one important project was the temple. Are we there? Rebuilding the temple that was torn down and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, who had at this time died. So, workers and overseers were appointed and they began the work of rebuilding the temple, the house of God. In completing the foundation, the people did something that was wise and appropriate. They stopped after they completed the foundation of the temple. They stopped. But here, it was not to rest. Look at chapter 3, verse 10.
And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel.
You notice what I've noticed? They stopped with God's hands. They stopped to praise God. Just the foundation was completed. But they knew that God had a part in it. And they knew that thanksgiving is always appropriate in serving God. Isn't that what Brother Derek Grant preached on last week? That's right. So they stopped to give thanks for their success. Then, Satan showed up. That's right. Remember the lesson, you know. I started off hoping you remember what we are preaching. Picking up from last week, that God wants his people to succeed. But there is no end to which Satan will go to hinder us from succeeding in our spiritual life. So here they were successful in undertaking a project that God wanted them to succeed in. And no sooner they reach a point where they thought they had a reason to give God thanks, Satan presents himself. So read verse 4, 1 through 3 again.
Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Ashahadon, king of Ashur, which brought us up hither.
Stop here, ladies and gentlemen. Notice the subtlety of Satan's agents. And why it's important for us to understand is that Satan comes in the church just like this. A lot of time we are unaware, and in fact, a lot of time we want to jump and prance, not realizing that what we are allowing in going to work against the cause of Christ. You notice the subtlety of these people. They were agents of Satan. They would spare no effort in order to defeat God's people and to make them fail. Notice this too. They did not come. The enemies did not come as warriors to fight against the Israelites. Very important. Probably if they came armed with sword to fight the Israelites would be taken. They came as helpers. As one theologian rightly said, be not deceived by the smile of sin. Truly. Sin can come with such an attractive smile and winsomeness. You can't expect any person to come nicer than these came. What did they say, brother?
Then they came to the chief fathers and said unto them, let us build with you.
May I? Let us build with you.
For we seek your God as ye do.
You see, as I said, this was meant to give them a foothold on the inside to work therefrom to defeat God's purpose and God's people. Do you notice with me that action can be so noble, but motive can be so devilish? Do you notice with me? Let us deal with you. We want to help you. That's a noble gesture. But the motive behind it, as I said, motive. While action is noble and good, motive can be corrupt, impure, and motive is so easily overlooked. Now, you and I do not always know motive, you know. Of course, a lot of times the motive comes out. Are we there? So many times we let the enemy in and we do not know it. And I'm talking about in the church. Had these leaders, the Zerubbabel and the other leaders, not be on their P's and Q's, they would have gladly accepted the help of these men. They were Satan's agent, bent on the Israelite not succeeding. Accepting, I want you to get this, accepting the offer from these Samaritans would have been fatal and destructive to the entire project or undertaking, any way they had accepted it. In fact, let me just drop along. The project was almost defeated. We don't have time to go into that. The project was almost defeated. Because probably as the lesson progresses, I'm going to show you that these enemies were so determined. And a lot of times we permit Satan and his people to have more determination than we do. If you are doing what is right, be determined. It is rightly said, you are never in the wrong when you do right. They were determined. I'm going to show you that they were a court that is in the palace under three kings to defeat the Israelites. Three kings. One come and died, and when he was there, they work in the palace, a court. The other one come, the other king of Persia came, and they have people in the court working for them. And the third came to defeat the Israelites. That shows their determination. But watch here, watch here. The project was no mere human or ordinary undertaking. In fact, look here, look here, look here. This undertaking to rebuild and restore the temple with all that the temple stands for, right worship, this was meant by the Almighty God. For one, to establish, or rather for the establishment of God's peculiar people in their own land. That's one. God wanted the Israelites to be re-established in their own land. That's one. To that, not just to establish in their own land, but to be under their own God-given religious system. Two, to restore true worship as a witness. Watch here now, watch here now. To restore, I said, true worship to the Almighty God as a witness to the Gentile against polytheism. The Gentile world did not know monotheism. That is one God, one worship. The Gentile world did not know that. They practiced many gods, many worship. So God was anxious to get his people back in their own land so that monotheism, one true God, one true worship, could be established to oppose polytheism, many God and many worship. But not only that, the Almighty God wanted the Israelites to go and rebuild the temple, establish true worship against polytheism and against idolatry. As we will be looking in a few minutes, the Gentile world then and the immediate environment had so many gods, you can't count them. The Almighty God wanted the Israelites to go into their own land as a witness against materialism and sensuality in religion. I repeat, materialism and sensuality in religion. May I? In the religion of the Gentile world, adultery, fornication was a part of the worship. It was not like say, a person outside of the Gentile religion do this. It was an important part of Gentile worship. The Almighty God wanted the Israelites to establish true worship. May I? What I like was Zerubbabel's reply. There's a part in it I like. Let me hear it, brother. Quick, you're up. Chapter 4, quick. Chapter 4.
But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together.
That's the statement I love, Brother Webb. That's the statement. In this statement, there is unity of faith. In this statement, there is unity. Remember the New Testament talk about what he said there? But we
ourselves together.
We ourselves together
will build.
Wait, and this is the responsibility of God's people. You know, there are certain responsibilities that the Almighty God gives to the church that the ungodly world cannot help us in it. Yes, we and the ungodly world can work in some community project and whatever. But the central work of the church belongs to the church and the church only. The ungodly world has no lot and part in that. If we like Zerubbabel's statement, we ourselves together. When we work together, we can accomplish much for God. Not only that, wait. There are a lot of temptation in the offer made. We come to build with you. Oh, what a wonderful offer. This will help us to finish quicker than we thought. Because we are getting some help. We will reach our goals so much faster. I have some news for you. God does not have interest in reaching mere gold. That's right. As we're going to see in scripture, what interests God is how you reach the gold. Truly, I feel I could spend the rest of the time just on this. Look at the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 12. And chapter 15 and verse 13. So reasoning that what a God-sent help. We will reach our goal quicker. We will achieve so much because we are getting this help. Let us be careful. Let us hear the passage of 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 12 and 14, 13.
And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me?
Brother, where do you see what I see?
How?
Moving the ark is important, but the more important consideration is how it is done. God had just killed a man a few verses above. And that was dependent on how it's moved. Look at chapter 14. And verse 13, I think.
Verse 15.
And it's chapter 15, 13. And the same point, you know. We have just left chapter 12 and verse 13. The brother is reading from the book of 1 Chronicles.
For because he did it not.
For because you did it not at first.
The Lord our God made a breach upon us.
The Lord our God made a breach upon us. That is when he killed Uzziah. God killed Uzziah. And remember, that killing was dependent on how. Remember what we are on. The Almighty God, whatever the church is to achieve, the Almighty God's interest is that we achieve it the right way. Not just any and any way. God made a breach upon us. Read.
For that we sought him not after the due order.
Oh Lord, I like that. I like that. The due
order.
Order. There is. This simply means the right way. It simply means the right way. So the Almighty God does not interest in just us achieving particular goal. How do you achieve it? You want money? Yes, get it honestly. Whatever it is, God has great interest in how are we there. Brothers and sisters, they said, not only that we will build with you. Are you following? They said also in verse 2, we seek your God as you do. Ooh, what a liar them. But you know what? The pivotal point here is that Zerubbabel and the other leaders knew that that wasn't so. While the Samaritans probably really thought that they see God like the Israelites. You know, read verse 2.
Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. For we seek your God as ye do.
Just the way you do, we seek him. Are we there?
And we do.
Wait. The Samaritans did not seek or worship God like the Jews. Why do you say that, Brother Mitchell? The Samaritan adopted a mix of mongrel worship, idolatrous religion. Look at them in 2 Kings chapter 17, 29. Following, just take a look here now. This is how the Samaritan talk. We worship God and we seek God like you do. Just pure lie. False.
How be it?
Now, wait, kind of like some denomination would like you to think that, well, you and we worship God just like you, Church of Christ. That's a lie. Entertainment is never worship. Read, brother, read.
How be it? Every nation made gods of their own.
Wait. This includes the Samaritan. What is just that I don't have time to get into the background. But if you read a few verses above or below, you see, albeit
every nation made gods of their own.
You all got that is idolatry. Idol. Every nation. If there were 20 nations, there were 20 gods.
and put them in the houses of the high places.
In the Bible, most time when you read about the high places in the Old Testament, it means idolatrous worship. And put them where?
In high places which the Samaritans had made.
Okay, thank you. You see that I'm not a liar. Which who has made?
Which is Samaritan.
But brother, wait, the Samaritan were the leaders who built the high places. These are the same people that tell the Israelites that we see God the same way you do. You know, so say them a liar. The Jews, read a little further.
And every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sakaba not.
What you are finding now, it is naming the different nation and the different God, the different idols. You get the point? The Jews worship God exclusively. And that was the only way and still the only way to worship God. Amen. That is God alone. You forget Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10? You can't forget that. What did I say? I said that the Jews worship God exclusively. The Samaritan who came to tell the Israelites that we see God just like you. They may believe their own lie, but it was a lie. It was a falsehood. And we must be careful that we do not accept the falsehood of any religion of thee. Where they want us to feel we and them are the same. Serving God in our attitude towards the Bible. We're not the same. We might be failing human beings, but in our attitude towards God's truth, worship, etc., we are not the same. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10.
Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve."
Brother Blake, that's what I meant by exclusively. You don't worship God and other things or other idol. You can't. That's exactly what the Samaritans have been doing. And come to tell God's people that we see God like you do. A church. But your church is not the only church. We worship God the same way you do. You don't. You don't. You cannot bring to worship what pleases you, what you like, what you want as a part of worship and claim that you worship God. You can. Brother Mitchell, that's what you say. What the Apostle Paul said, what say the scripture? Look at the book of Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Isaiah 58 and verse 13.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
from doing thy...
Keep in mind, in context, God is speaking to the Israelites. But in application, as it relates to worship, which is under consideration here, it is applied to us. God said to the Israelites,
if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day.
Wait. You all get the drift already? I'm doing what?
From doing thy pleasure on my holy day.
Thy pleasure. You all get that? Somebody don't get it. Don't seek to please yourself when you are called upon to please God. It's important that even we in the Church of Christ get it, you know. On my holy day, that means God set that aside for the Israelites to stay at their home and remember how He emancipated them from slavery in Egypt. That was the purpose of the Sabbath, to remind the Israelites that God, by a stretch out arms, led them from slavery in Egypt. That time of meditation, etc., remembering how God helped them, is a type of worship. Remembering and giving honor to God. God is reminding them, don't be tempted to do your own thing. And that day, read on.
And my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him not doing thine own ways.
Don't do your own. Could that be made plainer, brother? I don't think so. Not doing
thine own ways.
Thine own ways.
Not finding thine own pleasure.
Not finding your own. Everybody get that? When we come out to worship, we do not have whole wheat bread here because we like it. We do not have the organ or piano or Bob Marley band here because we like it. Anyway, you bring something as a part of worship because you want it, worship ceases to be worship. You can't have it plainer than this. What somebody said, Brother Mitchell, you should charge the church for this passage. I'm a kind man, that's why I'm not charging you for this passage. Don't seek your own pleasure.
Nor speak thine own words.
Now, wait. Didn't I read somewhere that if any man speak, let him speak as God's oracle, God's declaration. Here you have it. That in worshiping God, don't even speak your own word. We can come here talking about philosophy and all of that. No, when you come down to speaking God's word, the Bible says speak it faithfully. I can come telling you what I dream, and yes, if you have a dream, tell it like a dream. But not even your own word. You see, people, and you come talk about, we worship God at our church like the Church of Christ. You are wrong! You do not worship God when things that are done there are brought into worship because any human being like it. It ceases to be worship. Lord of mercy, if you are not careful, me preach all night and all day, you know. You know, time has gone and there's so much left. Where was I? We were in the book of Matthew. And we were in the book of Isaiah 48 verse 13. That when we are worshipping God, we must not seek our own pleasure. And that means that you and I must explain to men and women that when you go out to worship, if it is going to be true worship, you do not include anything because you like it. So these Samaritans which come telling Zerubbabel and the other leader, we see God like you. They were mistaken. We have been sacrificing unto your God sins whenever. Zerubbabel said, this too is a falsehood. The true God is not worshipped at all. If other gods are worshipped along with God, or even if you worship other God and come to worship the true God, you do not worship. You are an idol worshipper. We don't have time to show that God gave these leaders the spirit of discrimination. We do not have time to go in detail that God gave these Hebrews, Jewish leaders, the spirit of decision making. We do not have time to go into detail that the Almighty God gave them to see the need for scrutiny and firmness. You notice as we close that they did not hesitate. Let's have a meeting and discuss, the benefit of getting all this great help. Let's have a meeting and see how. No, right then and there, the Zerubbabel and the other leaders were decisive. We must learn. Okay, we must take lesson from this. But you know what it needs for you to know the truth. When we know the truth, we can be of better help to the falsehood that comes and comes like it is truth. We can take steps to protect not only the lost cause, but help those who might come with their self-deception. There are much more to say, but we're going to have to stop here. There is much I want to share with you, some detail about the steps that were taken by the enemies of God's people to defeat them. The arts that research be carried out to see if a building permit was given to the Israelites. 3 times they asked that research be carried out to see if the Israelites got a building permit for the temple. They were bent on defeating them. May I? Satan is bent on defeating us. You must not permit it to happen. And you know what? You have God on your side. If you want to serve God and to be a successful Christian, you can. Because Jesus Christ is on your side. If you are here today, if you are not a child of God, God cannot work with you the way He wants. You must become a part of the family of God. The Bible says that the carnal minded is not subject to the will of God, neither can. That is, the worldly man, the ungodly man, is not subject to God's will. Why? You have not turned your life over to Jesus Christ. No, you can do it. I mean right here today. You can turn your life over to Jesus Christ so that He can begin to work with you, work for you, and work through you. But you must turn your life over to Him through faith in Him, repentance from your sin, be willing to confess Jesus' name, and be baptized for the removal of your sin. Be baptized in water. Let us stand. As we stand and sing, Christ calls.